Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
My pleasure to introduce Mr. Corey Peebles from Drayton Valley.
Hello, everybody. Hello. Good to meet everyone.
Now, Corey, you'll soon discover why he is here for this Fierce Sunday, but tell about what are you doing right now? Work, job, roles, all that stuff.
I'm Corey Peebles, failed mayor candidate 2021 in town of Drayton Valley. that's right.
But you were also on council before that.
I was on council for two terms. I have three fitness centers. I have a beautiful wife. I was a youth pastor, so I always talk about how smoking hot my wife is. It's like a prerequisite as a youth pastor, so you have to do that. And two amazing kids. So we own three Anytime Fitnesses. My wife and I do some real estate. And recently, the Lord threw me into a world where I'm a chief of staff at the legislature. And I'm guessing you guys are surprised as I am. But, it was about 10 months ago we've been doing, and it's just been fantastic.
That is so crazy. Okay, we're just for fun. We're getting some rapid fire. These are like short answer. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Favorite leisure activity?
Golf. I'm terrible at it, but I love it.
Oh, way to go. Okay, the most odd or unique thing about you?
My wife would say my unfounded confidence. She said it's crazy, but I already just assume that everybody likes me and we're having a great time.
That's a great quality to have, especially in government.
Oh,
we do. Okay. One thing you rebel against.
I'd say a religious spirit. I hate anything that gets between Jesus and sinners.
Oh, I love that religious spirit.
That's somebody say amen.
Amen. Oh. Yes. Okay, one job or career you'd like to try.
Okay, check this out. Is there any long-haul truckers in the room? I'm always, yes, that's my dream. Just one time, CB radio, mullet, big old hat, hitting the road. I don't even have to drive because I probably wouldn't be able to. I just want to ride passenger, stop at truck stops and be like, yeah, I'll hop on the radio. I'll be the best. It'd be so fun.
Oh, that's great. I'm sure Pete will recruit you after the service. There you go. Okay, so let's start. Really short. What is your Jesus story, Corey?
Okay, so I grew up in the church. At 10 years old, I was baptized. The Lord just transformed my life. I was in the Alliance Church. That wasn't normal, and I just kept filling out this envelope, and they just kept saying no, and eventually a guy talked to me, and I thought I was in trouble for wrecking their envelopes, but I went with the adults and gave my testimony, professed my allegiance to Jesus at 10 years old, and it was a turning point in my life. Then around 13, my perfect little family life that I had, my dad relapsed. He had struggled with addiction before, so a lot of substance abuse led to a situation where my dad left with another lady. My mom and I and my sister were left trying to figure things out, and I was so mad at God. I was a bully. I was a terrible kid. I was causing a lot of trouble. Ryan Cook experienced some of that as well. And in the midst of it, I remember I was at a family camp. Anyone go to family camp in Red Deer at all? It's been going on forever. They used to have like a youth portion on the front end. So I went just because there's a lot of hot girls there. And that's why Flirt to Convert's a real thing. Do it in high school, junior high. It's wonderful. Anyway, this is supposed to be short, but I'm getting too excited. So there I was at this camp. I'm mad at God. I hate everything. And I'm kind of on the fringe. Like, I'm still aware of Jesus. I still kind of talk to him, but I'm like, at night, I'd be like, I don't want to be this person anymore, but it just... Anyway, there was a random usher dude walking around the tents, and he's like, hey, I think you should probably get in there. I'm like, I'm going to stay in my tent. I got a tummy ache. He's like, okay, well, I think God's got something for you. I'm going to come back around and check on you. And I'm like, it's going to be weird if a grown man comes and checks on me in my tent again. I should probably go inside. So I sat at the back with my arms crossed, and I don't know how to say it. There wasn't anything special. Judah Smith was preaching at the time.
I remember that.
It was unreal, yeah. So I'm sitting there, and it wasn't anything specific, but the Lord just started working on my heart. He's like, I love you. I care about you. The stuff that you're thinking is not true about me. And it just transformed my life.
Wow.
After that, we went to the Cry in, you remember that?
Ottawa?
Was that Ottawa? Gosh, yes.
Drove
in a bus with no air conditioning,
with
broke
that
down.
Crew. Yeah, okay, who was in the room that went on that was like maybe four of us? There was a few of us that went across the country.
That was unreal. Anyway, I get there, and I had spent a year just talking to Jesus. I said, Jesus, I'm going to give you an hour every day. I was 15 years old. And so I'd come home from being a bag boy at the grocery store. They don't have those anymore. You have to do it yourself. And I would just give the Lord an hour. And in that hour a day for that like year and a bit, I started speaking in tongues. Wow. I learned how to write sermons. The Lord literally just walked me through a bunch of stuff in my life, and it was life-changing.
That was so wild. Yeah.
And then I ended up at The Cry. I'm walking around. Everyone else is participating. I felt like the Lord just wanted me to walk around and pray for the government. And so that's what I did. I was just like speaking in tongues, walking around like a weirdo around the around the parliament building. And like the Lord just put something in my heart for government.
Isn't that wild? Yeah. And there you are today.
Here I am.
I think that is the coolest. Okay, so let's talk. You were a vocational pastor.
Yeah.
In what capacity? Youth pastor and?
Associate.
Associate pastor.
How many years? You can shorten that up however you want. But,
yeah, okay. How many years was that?
I think about 12 years.
Oh my, that's a lot.
Yeah, 12.
Okay, here's the question.
Yeah.
How? And now you're running businesses and in government. How did that transition happen? Was it like this lightning bolt, oh my gosh, I need to do this? Or was it a gradual transition?
Very, very gradual. And sometimes I think we actually stayed in ministry probably 2 years longer than God wanted us to. Wow. So it was just a thing where initially it was, we did this thing. It was like our gifts and the stuff that we had was perfect for that season that God had for us.
Right.
So I'm a firm believer that God's gifts are irrevocable. Amen. But this is the thing, is that they're also transferable with you to the next season.
That.
So I think sometimes we think we go into a new season, I'm like, well, where did my gift go? Like, what do I? Yeah. But it's like the Lord will use those things in you and change them in you through the whole process. So we were both, my wife and I were youth pastors, and we were crushing it. Like, we're having a ton of fun, 130 kids every Friday night.
That's amazing. In Drayton Valley.
Yeah, 10% of Drayton Valley's young people came to our church on a Friday night, and it was run by young people for young people, ton of fun. And we're just having a great time, and all of a sudden, I had a dream, and I'm standing under the front of the town office. And the Lord's like, you need to run for council. And in my dream, I'm like, like killing myself laughing. And I wake up, you know, like when you wake up from a nightmare and you're like pinned to your bed, it's like, I'm laying there and I'm like, you're serious, man? I'm like, I don't even know social studies. I barely graduated high school. What the heck? And so I couldn't shake this thing. So here my wife and I are poor youth pastors. I'm sure you guys pay them more than we got paid. But so we're sitting here and they're like, okay, I have to run for council. So I like filled out the paperwork and my wife had to help me. I probably couldn't fill it out properly. And I submit it and I'm sitting at home and like, okay. So it's noon and I get a call from somebody and they say, hey, Counselor Peebles. I'm like, that's funny. They're like, no, there was six positions and six people ran. You're a counselor. I'm like, hooray, I don't have to spend any money on a campaign. So, yeah. So I tend to win when no one's running against me. It's my record. It's a participation ribbon. So, but yeah, for those 3 years that I was doing that, I'm like, God, why am I here? And I talked to one of my pastors. I'm like, I'm 24 years old. I'm the youngest they've ever had. Everyone's looking at me like, who's this kid? And I'm looking at them like, I don't know why I'm here either. And somehow the Lord was able to kind of use me in that season. But the biggest thing that happened is I fostered a really great relationship with the mayor at the time, a Muslim guy who's now my business partner, which is a funny relationship we have. And he's old enough to be my dad, and I remind him of that all the time. But it was a thing where I just knew I had to watch his back. I had to be on his team and help him out, and we became so close. And so I was on council, but still loving church and doing all this stuff, And then after that 3 years was up, I was asked to be the associate pastor. I'm like, ooh, a promotion. Do I get more money? No. Great. So it's, my wife and I are associate pastors of the church now, and I'm just kind of doing our thing, but I'm just kind of feeling like I'm in this middle where there's not really anything happening.
Right.
Anybody ever maybe you're in a season right now, if you're brave enough, are you in a season where you just don't know what's next, what God has for you next? You there? Okay, there's a few of you honest people. It's wonderful. Those are the ones I'm talking to. But here I was, and I'm like, I don't know what's next. And so he calls me out of nowhere. He's a very wealthy fella. I said, Corey, I'm building a 36-unit condo building. I want to talk to you about this. Like, how can you help me? I know you own a condo. You're the president of your condo association. Help me out. I'm like, all right. So I meet him, give him my bylaws and everything. He's like, Corey, I'm doing something. I'm opening a gym. I don't want a partner. I'm just letting you know. He's like, I'm doing this thing. You're going to love it. It's going to be so cool. And because he's in his 50s at the time, he went to the bathroom a couple times during our meal. And so when he left, I looked at my phone, and I'm looking up Anytime Fitness. And is there some moments where the Holy Spirit just kind of speaks to you? And in that moment, I'm like, I need to get involved with this. So he comes back, and I said, here is why a gym is just like church. people come there because of a reason. There is a why that brought them through that door. Either a family member got sick, or they're going through divorce, or they're new to a community, they don't know anybody. There's a why that brings them in. And if you find that, you can keep them. And I started saying, it's about the atmosphere you create. You want to have a bodybuilder walking beside a grandma and having a great chat, and you can create this whole vibe. And I went on this whole thing. I'm like, I would totally invest in this. He's like, if you're serious, I'll talk to my brother. I'm like, yeah, I'm in. So I walk out, it's for my wife. Hun, I committed us to something. She's like, but we don't have any money. I'm like, I know, it's never stopped us before. And somehow, God, we had this number in our mind, 8750. And through just random things, I had a preacher come and say, hey, God told me to give you half my honorarium, and gave me half of like $2,500. I had like random tax return we weren't expecting, all this stuff, and it equaled exactly 8750, wow. Which was wrong. My number was totally wrong, but God was still faithful. And but it's just, and that started our whole journey on that side.
That's wild.
Am I taking up too much time on this part?
Keep talking.
Keep going. Okay.
You can work, yeah.
So we open our first one. 10 days into opening, we pass our break even.
Wow.
So I'm thinking, I'm like, yes, youngest town counselor there's ever been. My gym's profitable 10 days in, and I am the associate pastor of a small town church. So I'm kind of feeling like I'm a pretty big deal. And then the Lord just went on a very big, humbling journey where he shook me up and said, what you think your world is, isn't. And God, this is the biggest thing God said. I don't care about what you do. I care about who you are.
Wow.
And in this season, you're going to figure out who you are outside of what you do.
Wow, so good.
And so all of a sudden, we're in a position, we went on a sabbatical from church, didn't come back. This happens sometimes, but we were just like, no, we don't have the grace to go back. And so I went from this stuff to, okay, well, my gym can't afford to pay me yet, still paying all these bills. So we work on the business, not in it. I'm like, okay. So I'm at a park pushing my kid with no job, no anything, and a gym that can't pay me. And I'm just like, we went from this, like, oh, to this drop off. But in that waiting, the Lord started to say, you know what? I need to do a deeper work in you. I need you to see who you are outside of me. And what I realized is I can't do anything without that guy. I am just a mess.
Yeah, would you say that was the biggest change in your thinking that you had to shift from? Like even in thinking in terms of like vocational ministry.
Yeah.
Like obviously you just said we took a sabbatical from church and didn't go back. That means you didn't go back to your position, right?
Yeah. Okay. And we're still like tied into the church and stuff. But I literally was stripped away. Like, I didn't know how to talk to people anymore. I'm just like, who am I? And I was watching Daniel Tiger with my kid at the age, and it's like, Daniel Tiger at least knew how we felt about situations. I didn't know anything. I'm just like, stupid Daniel Tiger.
Was that a major, like, was it like this, again, was it like this, okay, a light bulb moment that, or like, I recognize I got to go to town. What do I need to do to work at changing my thinking? Or was it something that you felt God was
I had nothing left, so the Lord was just trying to work out some stuff in me, some like childhood trauma stuff. There's a bunch of stuff that was holding me back. And so we kind of got through that. And then it was like, okay, things are starting to go well. The gyms are doing well. My sugar mama's getting into real estate. Hallelujah. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, I felt like God said, hey, I need you to run for council again. It's 2017. I'm like, okay. Okay, hon, do you feel good about that? She's like, I guess. But so I go and get in again. And this was a totally different experience. God put me there for specific reasons, specific things, through COVID, trying to navigate building a swimming pool, a bunch of cool stuff where my skill set matched the season that we were in. And I was like, this is fun. This is fun again. Hooray. And then God told me to run for mayor. And I'm like, oh, you want me to be the mayor? And I lost by 100 votes. So, but it was during COVID, awful time for, I think, everybody. And all people cared about is if I was vaccinated or not. It wasn't about anything other than that. I'm like, hey, you want to hear about my plan for economic development? You vaccinated? Or how do you feel about mandatory? Because the kids couldn't play sports or anything. Right. They're like, you're the one who pushed against that. And I'm like, yeah. And I close the door. So it was a tough season. But I left that mad at God. I said, you set me up, man. And I went back into a waiting season.
Wow.
I have spent in the last 10 years probably 7 or 4 waiting, hon. I'm a master. I could sit in the waiting room. I get my coffee set up. I'm like, hey,
what are you doing in the waiting? What's he doing in the waiting season?
Well, you complain for a little while, and then you let the Lord. Then you let the Lord start to strip away the stuff that he needs to. Because what I realize is that, I don't know if you can tell, I'm not a very mature person. So the Lord has to sit me down and mature some things in me so I'm prepared for that next season.
Wow.
And I took it as a punishment, but God's saying, no, this is preparation. Yeah. So if you're in a waiting season, I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time before God's going to pluck you out of that and say, you're ready, and throw you into something you weren't even expecting.
How did you do that? What did you do? What did a waiting season look like? Like, what were the things that you actively did in terms of, like, yeah, what did that look like?
Yeah, so I feel like I'm dying inside if I'm not using the giftings that God gave me. So I ended up sitting on like 7 community boards.
7?
Yeah, my wife was super stoked about that. So I was on like Community Foundation, president of the Christian School Society. I was the president of my constituency association for the UCP and all of these ones. And it's funny, I was doing this stuff and I was just trying to get this outlet where I'm like, I have this random set of gifts that nobody cares about and I have to use them and I don't know. And my wife and I were doing real estate, so things were good. I'm like, I'm semi-retired. And then all of a sudden, I get a call from my buddy Patrick and our constituency association. There's always drama and it's just what happens with a big tent party. But he calls me and says, hey, what's going on with your group and stuff? I'm like, man, I had to leave. I told him, I'm like, God told me I had to quit a bunch of stuff. I need to stop distracting myself, so I quit. So anyway, my wife was the one who told me, and then Holy Spirit told me when, and then I listened that time. But but then he calls me, he says, hey, we just had a chat. We hadn't chatted for probably a few years. He says, Corey, I need you to come next week and meet with the minister and I. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, the UCP AGM's coming up. I'm thinking, they need a volunteer, and I won't be able to say no. But I'm still in this waiting season. I got used to it. I was like, my golf game was getting better. Like, everything's kind of turning around. My wife's making money. I'm really good at making HelloFresh. Zest the lime. I didn't know how to zest until then. It's great. But anyway, I can follow instructions. So I end up just sitting here in this life. I'm like, okay, well, maybe this is just what my life looks like now. And then all of a sudden I go to this meeting and we're sitting here hanging out. And so we're chatting for a bit. Then the minister says to me, so you want to come work for the government? I'm like, no. I was like, why? What are you looking for? He's like, I want you to come be my chief of staff. I'm like, I thought he's your chief of staff. No, he's going to work with the premier. So I want you. Wow. I'm like, okay. So last time I made a decision without talking to Jesus and my wife, it cost me $1 million. So I'm going to talk to my wife. How long do I have to make this decision? He's like, I'll give you 48 hours. Wow. And as a family, we prayed about it, had to deal with some of my own insecurities of like, why the heck would I be in this position? Because all of a sudden, I'm working directly with the minister. We have 1,700 employees in our area. We oversee, we're forestry and parks with Minister Lone. We got forest fire, forestry, lands, hunting and fishing. So you can tell I'm a hunter fisher. Yeah, and it's just a... And oh, feral horses are the bane to my existence. But yeah, this is what, and then the Lord just kind of thrust me into this thing. Wow. And then all I felt was like, you need to be who I called you to be. Be you. I'm like, okay. I'm like, hi everyone. Get interviewed. You need to quit doing this. No, I'm actually just going to keep being me. I'm like, oh, okay.
How do you navigate that tension? Like, and a lot of the environments you're in are obviously not, I mean, whatever kind of the terminology, some people might call it secular, some might even go so far, these are anti-Christian. In some ways, how do you navigate that tension as a Christian in these environments?
I thought there'd be tension. It's definitely secular, but it is probably the best harvest. Like, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. I have a press secretary I was talking to the other day, and they do work on all of our media interactions. And he was joking about making a Facebook post about Easter and about, oh, it's a great time to spend with family. He didn't know about Jesus. He didn't know about him dying on the cross. This guy's like 25. We assume as Christians, these people know what's going on. They don't. So I just came in and I'm like, I'm just going to be me. And so lots of times I'm talking to somebody. I say, hey, man, I'll be praying for you. Like, what? Like, oh, yeah, I used to be a pastor before I was doing this. Of course I'm going to pray for you. And the amount of doors that were open in conversations. And it's like, all of a sudden, I feel like my calling in that place is to just bring Jesus everywhere I go. And I remember one day, because I walk in every day laughing, because I'm like, why am I here? Lord, why? What is happening? It's all working somehow. They keep giving me raises, but I'm like, this is crazy. And I remember I was walking into the federal building that there's a tunnel that connects up to the legislature where I have a really sweet office with a balcony. So if you see a random person standing there, it's me and just give me a wave.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, it's so sweet. People are jealous. Yeah, you came out on the, yeah, it's great. But I remember I'm just like walking in and I'm like, Lord, all I want is to bring your glory. And if there is, you know, you look, righteous kings tore down the Asherah poles, all this stuff that would exalt itself above Jesus, and they were blessed. I'm like, Lord, if there's anything we need to tear down, I just pray that we can usher your presence in. And I'm walking in, and as I'm walking, I'm feeling pretty good, walking my suit, doing my thing. And I'm just like, thinking, all of a sudden, in my mind, I just saw like angels walking with me in step to the point where I'm like, do I get to see them? Turn around, don't. I'm like, ah! But I'm just like, hey, Lord, just move with me in this place. And as I walked into the kind of the rotunda at the bottom, I just like was seeing angels flying all over the place. Like, I just believe they're ministering to different ministries, doing their thing. I just believe in God's going to do something great there. So, yeah.
What would you say? You've been business, okay, government, a lot of different fields. What would you say is one of the probably, you know, maybe one or two of the most underrated strengths that Jesus followers have that are probably underutilized in the spheres of influence that we've got?
We have an unfair advantage everywhere we go.
Wow. That's so good.
I go to bed with problems and I wake up with solutions that Jesus gave me.
Wow.
We have the ability to tap into something that the world doesn't have.
Yeah.
So even in your job, I challenge you, just give Jesus everything. Can I read something from the Bible? I'll read something from the Bible. Okay, Romans 12 in the Message Bible. I know everyone was excited about this forever. It's my favorite. It's becoming like the Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the prayer. Everyone says it all the time. Romans 12. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life, and for people like me, they had to break it down a little bit further. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. I think it's honestly the best thing we can do.
Yeah.
Hey, God, still don't really know what I'm doing. Somehow my wife's still married to me for 18 years, and you decide to use me. Hallelujah, but I need you. Yeah. You leave, and I'm in trouble. And here's the thing, embracing what God does for you is the best thing you do for him. Do not become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Man, just let Jesus be with you. And this is the biggest thing that I would say. It says, readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. And I would say that is the life hack. Okay, you're in a situation. Lord, I need a strategy. Help me out here. God downloads it to you, and you just share it. You just be obedient in every step, no matter what you do in your life.
Yeah. Have you ever been in a place like that download that you felt like, nothing's coming, what am I supposed to do? Have you ever had like this, felt like you got the silent treatment from God? Like, how do you navigate those seasons? Because they can be very real, too.
Yeah, they're scary. So when the fires are really bad, all of a sudden they're like, Corey, you get to brief the premier every morning. I'm like, I do. And so they're like, yeah, so she's going to hop on and you just give the fire update. I'm like, what's the fire update? And I'm like, and so then it's just one of those things where I'm like, Lord, what do I do? It's like, quiet. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm just going to try to figure this out. Anyway, so I didn't have a strategy. My first one was abysmal. And the minute premier's like, hey, Corey, this is what I'm looking for. This. I'm like, got it. Ran away with it. And I'm like, Lord, we need a strategy to actually meet this out. And then it was like, it became a thing where sometimes I have to fall on my face because the Lord has to remind me, hey, this is not you anyway, man. This is totally me that's working through you.
I like that. It's not just me. Okay, here's what would Corey say to your 20-year-old self, or maybe 25, whatever, your younger self, trying to sort out like job, career, future, what am I going to do with what you know now about just influence in God's kingdom?
Yeah, I would say chill out.
Yeah. Okay.
Take it easy. God, the best thing you could do is just get a real sense of who God says you are. And you lean into that. And then it doesn't matter what the career is, he's going to use you. So if he'll start to like give you a different job, career path or a passion, and he'll make sure, because his gifts are irrevocable, he'll make sure that that matches the season that you're in.
I love that. It's so good. Has this been very, very helpful, encouraging, stoking? Okay, you got like a minute 45. What do you want to say?
Oh, what I want to say is God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. It is a thing where if you feel like you're like, I am not worthy of this, there's no way I have the capacity to do it, then you are actually in the right position.
Wow.
Because God isn't trying to give you the glory. He's trying to bring the glory to himself. And I'm believing, like, I noticed that if you're in a season where as you're walking with God, you see the favor of God just start to show up in your life, lean into that.
Wow.
Because the Lord is opening doors. He's going to just set you up. But as we go, I just want to say, you guys have an incredible church. What amazing pastors you have, amazing team. I love this place. I came to Metamorphosis 2000. We're worshiping to Creed songs. Like, this is, and it's just amazing. I love that you guys are, have always been such an authentic group of people, and I am just so happy to be hanging out with you guys
thank
today.
Thank you, Corey.
Yeah,
can we give him just thanks? So good. That's so good. We, you know, if you want to know more about what is Spheres, we have, it's on our Church City Life app. If you just go to the app, go to the more section, there's a section on there called Spheres, and it gives you a bit of a, just a bit of a brief on what this whole initiative is. And it's not just a program. Spheres isn't just something that, you know, it's this thing we do for a while. It's a way of thinking. It's a lens that we really believe is part of what it means to follow Jesus. Following a relationship with Jesus is something that's so much bigger than just knowing my sins are forgiven. Jesus, in fact, it's less of this, you know, with this series that we just started last week called Disciple. It's less about this, you know, okay, I'm going to be this good person now and just follow Jesus, me and him. But no, what Jesus calls us to is this life lived on mission in partnership with him. And God's mission is really about rescuing and restoring everything that's broken in the world. And he starts with humans, because we're meant to be partners with him in what he is doing, in healing and restoring. And that's why these spheres of influence that we have, whether it's something like government or business or, you know, the activities that you're in or the community groups that you volunteer in or serve in or, you know, sports or school or whatever it is, these are these places of influence that God has given us to be those light bringers, to be our, you know, not to just be our broken selves, but to be the person that is bit that God created us to be. And I loved how you, even at the beginning, how you said that, you know, your confidence, that is that unfounded confidence. And you know what, that really is something that God does give to us. And I want to give an opportunity, you know, we do this every time we gather together, and it's an opportunity to give you a chance. If you're here, or maybe you're watching online, and you aren't a follower of Jesus. Now, this is something that is, you might know about Jesus. You might even be in a place where you believe in Jesus. But, you know, in James, I guess James 2:19, it says, even the demons believe in God. Demons believe in God. And they tremble. And there is something beyond believing. Believing is where it starts. But Jesus, even today, he's giving you the same. He's giving every single one of us that same invitation. Will you follow me? Will you follow me into a life of a mission? Will you follow me into a life that, no, it's not going to be this clear map the whole way of this is what your wild and wonderful purpose is in life, and it's going to be exciting and wonderful. It might be a whole lot of silence for a while, but obediently following Jesus, waiting and watching and walking with him. But can we just stand? I want us to stand, and I want to give an opportunity, and we're going to pray. And it's simply a prayer of saying yes to following Jesus and yes to living on this mission. God, we are so, God, I am just so thankful. God, we're thankful that you look at us. God, you see us in the brokenness. You see us in our mess. You see us in our weakness, in our failures. And yet none of that is a deterrent to what you see and what you want to do in and through us. God, even like Mike said earlier, the whole Old Testament, that whole story is about man's faithlessness, but yet you are the God that remains faithful. I just even believe there's some here in this room. You know that today has got to be the day of turnaround for you, because there has been a faithful legacy that you have been running from. A legacy of faith. It might be a praying grandma or aunt or uncle, a parent. Somewhere there's been somebody who took a stand and followed Jesus, and maybe there's been a long gap between that generation and you. But today is the day God's saying, will you follow me? Will you follow me? I have given you everything. I can't give you any more than what I have already given you, and that is all of myself in Jesus Christ, who died, who rose again, and he made it possible for us to begin a brand new life. Forgiven and on mission. It's a package deal. And God, we're just so thankful. We're thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for your grace. We're thankful for forgiveness that, God, you gave to us almost 2,000 years ago when Jesus died. And church, can we pray this prayer together? It's just giving language. If you've never said yes, God, how do I do this? How do I follow you? It starts with just saying, I'm ready, Jesus. Here I am. Can we pray this together? Say, Jesus, thank you for everything that you have done, all that you've accomplished through your death and resurrection and your ascension. Jesus, I say yes to following you, to living your purpose, your mission for my life, which is your mission, bringing your healing, your restoring to this world that I live in. Jesus, I say yes to following you. Thank you for a brand new start. Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.